We honor you for each one of the sound of my voice in our listening audience, Lord God, those that will hear this on the internet, around the world, Lord. Lord, we thank you right now because you make all things possible. Lord, we pray and ask that you would touch those that are sick in their body. Lord God, those that would be in service and can't, Lord, because of disabilities and whatever reason that is legitimate, Lord. Lord, and we pray for those that are not in service that could be. Lord Jesus, but their hearts have been betrayed, Lord God. They've been led in different directions. We pray for the backslider. We pray for those, oh Lord God, that are being misled, that you would stir their minds up, Lord God. Lord Jesus, for the saving of their soul. Lord God, we honor you today, Lord God. We bless your name, Savior. That's why we came. We came to bless you, Lord God, and to lift you up above every problem, every situation, Lord God, and to be a mediator for those that are praying. We touch and agree with those, oh Lord God, that are seeking you, Lord God, Lord, and praying for your presence, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we'll be careful to give your name the praise and to give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Certainly we thank and praise the Lord for today and for his goodness. We thank God for his mercy. I ask that you just prayerful. Be prayerful. God does answer our prayers. Matter of fact, he said, I hear you before you even call. There are prayers and thoughts that we have put up before the Lord that he has not forgotten about. So I want to encourage you with those words this morning that God has not forgotten about you. Amen. you. We'll fix, get that fixed. Sometimes you have technical difficulties. But thank God, because I know you can sing without that. Amen. But it always feels good to have music. Mm-hmm. But certainly we thank and praise God for his goodness. We thank and praise God for his mercy today. And all that God is going to do. I say that because I believe that we should have some expectations about God and what the Lord will do. And there's nothing that he won't do for you. There's nothing that he won't do that lines up with his will. He will do it. Amen. Want to, first of all, God bless you. Thank you for coming to service this morning. And certainly I pray that something is said that you can walk away with and hold on to for the rest of your life. I want to go into the book of Chronicles. This is 1 Chronicles. Using your device, I like to use Bible Gateway as on my phone or tablet to look at the Word of God. I also have my Bible, my regular printed text with me. But in the book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, the 15th chapter, it says, "And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared an ark for a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent." He pitched a tent for it. Then David said, "None ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for they have the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. The Lord has set an ordinance in place." He set something in place that should be adhered to at that time. And I haven't read in the scripture any place where it has changed. There are some things that should be handled by the person or the group of people that God has assigned to handle those things. Now, we like to try to do a little bit of everything, but when we put it in the right perspective, the singers are supposed to sing. Everybody can't sing. We join in with the singers because they carry the tune, and they actually do a great job of covering the rest of us up. But we can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And so the minister has the obligation to minister the word of God and to make sure that the sacraments that are ordained in the service of God is being handled properly by the ushers or by the deacons or by the assigned minister. So David knew that the Levites had been assigned. The ark of God was for the Levites to carry. And so the Bible said, "And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord into his place, which he had prepared for it. So the priests and the Levites gathered, sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel." The Levites got together and to carry out the duties that they were being asked to perform. "And the children of the Levites bear the ark upon their shoulders with the staffs thereon." Now, we've studied and we've talked about the Ark of the Covenant throughout the book of Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, that the ark was represented the presence of God. The ark was something that you couldn't just run up on and touch and handle any kind of way. I think that we forget at times that the things that are consecrated that belong unto God are not to be handled any kind of a way. We're supposed to handle these things with reverence, and anything that has been dedicated, that has been consecrated, such as this building. This building has been dedicated, has been consecrated for the purpose of serving the Lord. Now we believe in serving Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what others believe in and what they think of. Our purpose is to serve the true and living God. And so during this hour of service, we are consecrated and dedicated for that purpose, and we have been blessed to do such. And so the children of Israel came together for this purpose and to minister for those things that are to be carried out. And so the Bible says, and David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be singers with instruments of music, psalteries, harps, and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. And so he called for the musicians. He called for everybody to come together to lift up a praise unto the Lord. The Bible said, so David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the house of Ephraim with joy. They went down to recover the Ark. And it came to pass when God helped the Levites that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, that they offered seven bullocks and seven rams. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bear the Ark and the singers, the masters of the song and the singers, David also upon him was the ephod of linen. This was a garment that the priests wore. And we know that David was king, but understand something. David was not just a king, but David was also a prophet. Many times in our political realm, they have separated church and state. And that's not what the Bible, how the Bible does it. And later on, as time goes on, or as we move out of time into eternity, there is no separation of God's government and the kingdom. It is all one. And so David himself, being the king, was also a prophet in Jerusalem. And so we also find this, as the Bible says, Abraham met Melchizedek, and who was the king of Salem and also the prince of peace. And so again, we see a combination of church and government even existing even in that day. And so there has been a tremendous change in the way things have been done, the way things are done today, that will eventually go back into the ministry and the service, and where there is one God that is ruling over all, and that is his kingdom. And so the Bible said, thus all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouting and with sound of the clarinet and the harp and the cymbals and the trumpets, and making a noise with those instruments. And it came to pass, as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, this is the daughter of Saul, was looking out of the window, and she saw David rejoicing and praising God. She saw him dancing and saw him playing the instruments and saw him just going forth and giving God a magnificent praise. There was something about David that he understood, that giving God a praise does something for him. And so she became very upset. The Bible said that she despised him because of the praise that she saw going on. Had she been in her place, she would have been out there praising God too, instead of looking out the window at her husband. Had she been in the right place, she would have been by his side and ushering him, walking with him as he ushered in the presence. The Ark represented the presence of God back to Jerusalem. And so this morning, I just want to talk about those things, keeping the sacred things sacred. And we have to keep the things that are sacred, sacred in our lives. So many things today have that we considered sacred many years ago have been viewed as being not as sacred as it used to be. We talked about prayer. Prayer was something that was very sacred, and it should remain sacred today. The church itself is the house of God, should be sacred. meaning that we don't allow our children to run around and to play and to just do anything and, you know, and leave their gums stuck all in the seats and candy and you know, and we allow them today to sit in the service of God and to put on headsets and watch television and play games rather than listening and being taught about how to serve the Lord. It doesn't matter about the age, because age has no difference when it comes to the house of God. The Bible tells us to train up a child in the way that it should go, so that later on they won't depart from it. And so we the things that were once sacred, the offerings were sacred, the prayer, the preached word was sacred, even the assembling together was sacred, and the treatment of one another was viewed as being sacred. Today, it is not so, but people view these things as being unnecessary. People can not give an offering, and people cannot prayer, and people don't want to hear the word of God, or they say, well, you know what, that really don't apply to me because I have my own interpretation of the word of God. It don't matter what I say. It don't matter what you say. The word of God is God's word. And whatever God says, that is how it is supposed to be viewed. If God says, don't do that, then we're not supposed to do it. If he say, don't touch the unclean thing, then we're not supposed to touch it. If God says that turn right here, and we say, well, no, I want to turn left, then we suffer the consequences of that. And so we have to look at what the word of God says and deem those things sacred that are sacred unto the Lord. The term sacred is defined as being consecrated. It means the object has been set apart for a particular purpose. It means the object has been exalted and marked as worthy of the whole devotion. The minister, you, the people of God, the believers, those that come into the house of God, when you step into the house of God, and I love this about him, is that it doesn't matter where you've been or what you have done, but that God automatically, he knows how to imply a sanctimonious holiness on you at that moment. And let me give you an illustration of that. The Bible says this. The Bible says that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. The Bible says that as he saw the angels, the angelic being, the seraphims, they was praising God, and they was and the heavenly host, and all of those that had been sanctified and saved and in the presence of God, loved ones that had died and went on. The Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so as he saw those that was in the presence of God and giving him praise, and the atmosphere was filled with praise and adoration unto God, he said, man, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I have been around people that are also of unclean lips. I've been contaminated, and now I'm in the presence of God, and I'm starting to feel a certain way, because as I look around me and see the people and see everyone giving God praise, I don't feel worthy to be here. Bless your Lord. And so the Bible says that an angel, one of the seraphims, went to the altar and picked up a hot coal and came down and touched his lips, causing him at that moment to be sanctified. And now he is in the presence of God, purged and clean from all the things that he felt was wrong in his life, his own personal confession, and abiding in the presence of God and everyone else that had went through the same thing that he did. He was sanctified at that moment. So when we come into the house of God, God knows just what to do to sanctify us. Jesus put it like this. When he was with his disciples, he said, you have been washed by my word. And so the word of God has an impact on us, that it washes us, it cleans us, it sanctifies us, it moves us into a position, a state of being that is acceptable unto God. We got to keep the things that are sacred, sacred. And so the Bible says, Psalms 99:9, it says for us to exalt the Lord our God. and to worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. But others claim that that they attend, and I'm sure that there's some even right now, they're attending the new Bedside Fellowship Community Assembly Baptist Tabernacle of Me, Myself, and I. This is their place of worship this morning. Their place of worship is Bedside Baptist. Their place of worship is that friendly community assembly Baptist Tabernacle called Me, Myself, and I. Is their place of worship, to say the least, when the intended purpose of the church has been misplaced. We have to keep those things that are sacred, sacred. When it has lost its meaning, it's no longer sacred. When it has been replaced and God's objective is no longer our objective, is no longer God's objective, and God's objective is no longer lines up with us, but our own self-gratification, then it is no longer sacred. We have to keep those things that are sacred, sacred unto the Lord. David was dealing with a misplacement of a very important item. The Bible said David thought about the ark of the Lord. David was in his own home and the situation that was created and being that he needed to set those things back in order that are now out of order. There comes a time that we have to evaluate like David and put those things in order that are out of order. The situation they had created, the situation that they started many years ago is now caught up with them. The situation they created, they now are looking at and saying, I've got to set this in order. When we do as David did, it opens the door for change and the blessings that accompany that. When we set things in order, it takes time to put things in order. I remember someone telling me, they said, listen here. They said that when you fall down and you break your arm, it happened instantly. But in order for the healing to take place, it takes place over time. Many times we look for the change of God to happen instantaneously. And there are times that it does. I myself know that as a user of different things, I like to be sedated. I used to use self-sedation and different things, that when I got baptized, that went away instantly. Whereas for others, it was a gradual. And the Bible, I love that about God because he is so patient with us. I love him because God knows how to allow us time. God knows how to give us space. And I appreciate that about him. And just knowing that since God has given us space, we ought to give other people space. God even gave Jezebel time to repent of her. And if God knew her situation and knew what he thought about her and gave her space, how much more time and how much patience should we have with one another? That we give other people space. We give other people time. We give other people the same opportunity that we want and that we want others to give to us. That's why the Bible said, treat your neighbor as you want them to be treated, as you would have others to treat you. When you approach somebody and you want to deal with the situation, think about how you would want somebody to deal with you. The Bible says that some people are healed as they go. The Bible says that as the lepers went, they were healed. And over time, as they was traveling, some of them looked at themselves and said, man, I see a change and I see something different about myself. And so he went back and told the Lord, thank you. He went back and begin to worship and to magnify God, whereas others kept going. And so the Lord told him at that moment, he said, listen, because the initial instructions was to go and show yourself to the priest, because that was biblical, that you show yourself to the priest, that the leprosy was gone, and they would take you through a ritual to make sure that the disease was completely gone, that you had been completely healed. And so while the others, the 10 of them started out and one went back, the 9 went to the priest. And the one that went back to Jesus, he told them, he said, now go to your family. Go show them. So at that moment, the tradition of what they would have done or what he would have done has now been superseded by the word of God manifested in the flesh to go directly to his family and show them the miracle that had been bestowed upon him. Oh, bless you, Lord God. When we put things in order and put things back in the place, when we keep the sacred things sacred as they should be, then that we are, then we can receive the blessing that God has for us. David opened the door of change, and it was accompanied by the blessings. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter and the 10th verse, it said, whatsoever your hand find to do, that you ought to do it. Whatever your hand find to do, do it with all your might. For this is no work. There is no work. There is no device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whether thou goest. So while you have breath in your body, while you have time, while you have your strength, while you have your youthism, while you are cognitive, I thank God. Because there are many that are not even my age, that are not even your age, that are dealing with limitations. They had the ability at one time, but then something happened. Maybe they fell off their bike. Something happened, or they got involved in a situation that changed, it altered their reality. But while your reality is here and the focus is right now, that while you are thinking about it right now, while your mind is upon the word of God right now, it says, whatever your hand find to do, do it with all your might. That because when the day come that you cannot do it, there's no remembrance of that. When the day come that you're 6 feet, with six people have carried you in, and now they're going to put you in that 6 foot hole, you can't do it then. You can't make the change at that moment. But while you can, do all that you can and do it with all your might. Oh, bless you, Lord God. I hope that you're inspired like David. And, David got it. David saw an opportunity and he took it. I believe David was demonstrating the scripture that we read. I believe David was illustrating the very thought that was inspired by the Holy Ghost as it moved upon Saul to dictate this to his writers, that whatever your hand find to do, that you do it. David saw an opportunity here. He saw that the ark of God, the thing that was sanctified, the thing that represented the presence of God, was needed to be treated differently. And so the Bible said, and David made him houses in the city of David, Jerusalem. And he prepared a place for the ark of God. Have you prepared a place for the covenant, for the promise, for the presence of God? Have you put it in your heart? Because I believe that that is the most important place that the ark, the presence, the power of God should reside. It should reside within you. It don't matter how beautiful the sanctuary is. It don't matter how much it costs to build it. It don't matter if it's a matchbox. If the presence of God is not there, it is worth nothing. Bless your Lord. But with the presence of God, the Bible said, then David said, none ought to carry the ark. Nobody should be allowed to move or touch the ark of God, but the Levites, those that are assigned to do such things. For them the Lord have chose and to carry the ark and to minister unto him forever. I know that David was going through the Torah and he was looking at the word of God and what Moses had written and how things should be carried out. But today we don't have the ministers carrying this gold-plated box into the sanctuary today. Today it is you and I that are carrying the presence, the ark, the sanctimonious thing, the thing that is sacred unto God within ourselves. The Bible says, and David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark. The Levites were members of the Hebrew tribe Levi. They provided assistance to the priests in the worship service. Oh, my God, bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. When we come together It don't matter if I'm standing here. It don't matter if the guest minister is here, or the Lord sends an evangelist into his house, or if it's a child that is speaking the word of God. All of us should be in place so that we can help minister the word of God. We can help the priest carry on the worship service in the house of God with the lifting up of our voices, with the raising of our hands, with the oneness of mind, and keeping those things that are sacred, sacred. The position of the Levite was not something you attended the nearby theological center to become. I've met those that said, you know what, it looked like being a minister is a prestigious position. It looked like being a minister. Some look at it and say, you know, it is financially a blessing, and I want to be a minister because, but listen here, understand something, that ministry is something that is called by God. It is not something that going to school is great. I encourage, go to college, get your degree. Those that are actually called into minister that should go to some type of training in theology so that you can know how to handle the word of God, so that you can bridge the gap of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so they were born and they were trained for this purpose. The Bible said that God selected and trained them for the service. Like the Levi, you and I have been called and have been selected by God and trained for this particular purpose. We've been trained in the school of hard knocks. Well, you know, we go through things. We say, well, I wasn't trained by God. And God didn't call me into the ministry. And, you know, you don't come into that realization until God actually places the call upon your life. And so we go through training. You know, you didn't go to a seminary, you didn't go to a proper school, but let me tell you, you went to the school of hard knocks. I know that I did, and I know the testimony of so many others that you went through the school of hard knocks. We learned a lesson, and we learned it well. I'm reminded of one of my favorite comedians that he was on the air, and he was saying, you know what, you learn by the things that you go through. He said, a friend of mine came and said, man, we ought to go and hit up that liquor store. And he said, oh, man, I'm not going with you because I remember the last time we did that, I went to jail. And I'm not willing to go to jail again. That didn't feel good. And so while we may have laughed at that, it was a lesson that was learned. God knows how to take the lessons that we learn and to use them to bring us into the position that he wants us to be in. Some of us have got burnt. In other words, we've been bamboozled. We have got fooled, so we know not to do the same things to others. Some have lost some things, or lost a loved one, or lost someone that they felt was special. It teaches us a lesson on what to do and what not to do. It prepares us for the assignment that God has for us. Let me go here with it. If you have ever experienced a betrayal, then you know that the pain from that, it hurts. Somebody ought to say amen. That when you deal with something that makes you say ouch, that that's offensive, that something that you deal with that makes you cry, let me tell you, then you know and understand not to do the same thing to God, because God has feelings also. Are you with me, church? When we consider the things that we don't like nobody to steal from us, and so when we deal with someone, a theft, we know that if that hurt us, that if we steal from God, it's going to hurt him. We know that we don't like being lied on. So if we tell a lie and it offends God, we know that it hurts him. So therefore, when it comes down to ministry, when it comes down to serving the Lord, then we've gone through the school and learned the very most important lesson, and that is not to offend God. We know the things that we should do and not do. We know the things that have prepared us for the service of the Lord and for the assignment of God, so that we walk in truth, so that we walk in holiness, that we are sanctified, that we know the things that would hurt somebody, that we're not to do those things to our brother or sister, that we're not to do those things to God, that we keep the things that are sacred, sacred unto the Lord. It gives us a voice so that we can cry loud, and we can spare not, and we can lift up our voice like a trumpet. trumpet and declare the righteousness of God. Bless your name, Jesus. David was well into expanding his territory. David was in dealing with the environment of his house and his land and his entrepreneurship and his education and creating relationship with others, whether they were relationships with business or personal. He was well into doing those things when he realized his service unto the Lord was being neglected. Do we get so caught up into the things that we're doing? We get so caught up into, I've got to be at work. And we get so caught up into the overtime. We get so caught up into the struggle, the hustle and bustle of the day. We get so caught up into our relationship with her and with him that we neglect our services unto the Lord. My God, this is what David had did. David had created overwhelming situations, relationships, and forgot about his service unto the Lord. The thing that was most sacred, the thing that moved him, propelled him into the position of where he is, took him out of being in the field with the sheep and coming home at night and smelling like the sheep dung and the different things into a place of prestige, into the kingdom in which God established for him, moved him into a place that someone else had lost. Now he's realizing, after all of this, I've neglected the presence of God. I've neglected God. I've neglected my responsibility. And so the Bible says that he called to the priests, he called to the Levites, and he told them, he said, listen here, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify or sanctification has lost its meaning among many. There is a difference in believing in the existence of God. I've met those, and you've met them too, that say, I believe in God. And we take that as meaning that I'm serving God. Well, because you believe in something don't mean that you are that thing. It don't mean that because you believe in God that you're serving him. The Bible says that they were told to separate themselves and to live by his word. When I say that I believe in God, when I say I believe in God, I make sure to say that I'm serving God. Because that's what I'm doing. That's what you're doing. A matter of fact, right now you're serving him in his presence. Right now your attendance is serving his purpose. Bless your Lord God. You ought to thank him right now. You ought to just give him some praise that you were able to come into his house and to be part of his service. Amen. And to hear his words, to allow those words to go into your spirit and to bless your soul, that you are part of his service today. Thank you, Jesus. Mighty God, thank you, Lord. David told them, sanctify yourselves. Get up, clean yourselves up. The Bible clearly says that the devil believes in God and is afraid. So it's clear that even the devil has something that others don't have, a reverence and a fear of God. The Levites had stopped taking care of themselves. They became promiscuous, immoral, loose, philandering, meaning that they were taking on various relationships, making themselves unequally yoked, and creating a bondage for themselves and those that was following. It's impossible to serve two masters. Mm-hmm. The Bible says you can't serve two because you'll love one or hate the other. You can tell when someone is loving God because they don't mind doing what God says. But when they are loving something else, then it becomes a struggle. It becomes a struggle to even sit in a service. It becomes a struggle to hear the word of God. It becomes a struggle to apply themselves in keeping those things that are sacred as being sacred unto the Lord. But listen, David told them, it's not impossible. Get up and clean yourselves up and sanctify yourselves. Change the lifestyle from being unloyal to a loyalty unto the sovereign God. David called all the ministers together and to prepare for the service of the Lord. And they complied. Are you willing to adhere to the call? Are you willing to obey the word of God? Are you willing to apply yourself wholeheartedly unto what God is saying. Your righteousness is not contingent upon your friend. It's not a contingent upon your associates. It's not a contingent upon family and others around you being in agreement with you serving the Lord. But it is a true responsibility. And it is righteousness. And it is the call of God that we begin with repentance and a willingness to obey the word of God. Remember, words without action mean very little. Matter of fact, it's very annoying to hear somebody say that I'm going to do something. Jesus gave an illustration like this. This father had two sons, and he told them, I want you to go over here and to handle this business. One of the sons said, no, man, I ain't got time for that. I got some other things to do. I have something else that's on my agenda today. And he walked away. And then there was the other son that said, I'm going to go. And I'm going to do what you asked me to do. The Bible says that the one that said, I'll go, did not go. And the one that said, I have another plan, I have another agenda, thought about it. Realized I'm neglecting my responsibility. I'm moving in the wrong direction. I'm putting the things that are most important, I'm putting the things that are less important in the presence of the things that are most important. I'm starting to major in the minor and minor in the major. And the Bible said he changed his mind and went on to do what his father asked him to do. Is that what we're doing today? Can we do that? I believe that we can. We can change our minds and major in the minor in those things that are not as important and major in the things that are. This is what David was telling the Levites to do. This is where David brought his own mind to, that I've got to make a change. David knew it was going to take much more than transporting the ark home. The Bible said that he called the chief priests and called the chief of the Levites to appoint them, to appoint to the brethren the singers and the instruments of music and the psaltery and the harp and the cymbals and the sounding with the lifting up of voices with joy. Now, I had to underline this because he didn't just call the choir together. He didn't just call the praise leaders together, but he said, come together with some joy. When we come together, we should be coming together with some joy. There should be some laughter. It is not a strenuous thing to come to the house of God. And it is the leading. That's why I have a problem when going into a service and the people are being told, you ought to give God some praise. No, God has just been so good that I want to give him praise. God has been so good that I look at his goodness and it just makes me laugh. I look at his goodness and it is not always that I feel a teardrop because I feel like I'm unworthy, but God has made all of us worthy through the death of Jesus Christ. Through the shedding of his blood, God has made us worthy. Yeah. Ah, bless the Lord God. He has made us worthy by God. God has made us worthy, not through our own righteousness, but through his righteousness. Through his shedding of blood, he caused the remission of sin. He caused it to happen for you and I. So sometimes I come in the house of God and I'm just filled with laughter because I'm just losing it because of what God has done. And I'm just overwhelmed with joy because of what God has done. And it puts a smile on my face. And then there are times that, yes, my tears do flow, but it is joy, not sadness, not sorrow. Because of what God has done. You get mixed emotions about what God has done and what God is doing and the fact that you are, that you have put the S back in sacred. That you have taken those things that are sacred and put them back in their place. David knew that it was going to take much more than just carrying the ark home. Have you considered what it's actually going to take? Have you considered what it's actually going to take? Once we've offended the Lord, you know, sometimes we offend God and we don't think about what it's going to take to entreat him. It's an insult to place the Ark of the Covenant outside the kingdom of that God built. David is dealing with this situation. I've offended God. I've taken the thing that was sacred, that was important to God, and I've placed it outside. David learned that the house of this man, where the ark was abiding, was being blessed. His land was being blessed. The presence of God was there, and everything that was associated with this man was now being blessed. David wanted wanted his house and the city, the kingdom that God had established, to be blessed. And rightfully so, the ark needed to be put back in the kingdom, not outside on the farmland that belonged to someone else, because they were afraid of it. Mm-hmm. This is what happened. They became afraid of the ark. The ark was being moved. And the ark started to tilt over. It was out of balance. And before the priest could balance it back out, there was a young man that saw it. And he ran over to lift it back up, and instantly he died. And the people became afraid of the ark. You say, well, why did he die? He was doing something that was great. It was not his responsibility. It was good intentions, but good intentions don't always pay off the way that we think they should. We have to line it up with what God is saying. The Levites were to handle the ark, no one else. Now, listen to this, and this is just me. The Bible does not say this. This is me. But let's look at the power of God. Let's look at how great God is. The miracles that God has written. He's opened the Red Sea, caused the waters to congeal. He brought the people out of bondage and moved them into the land. God has healed people. He has done things. The ark was tilted and it was about to fall. Had this young man not jumped in the way, how do we know that God would not have caused that ark to just float in midair? We're talking about God here. We're talking about the same God that parted the Red Sea. We're talking about the same God that created the heavens and the earth. That's a small thing to cause a box to levitate. The miracle that the people would have observed was not able to be done because of this young man. So they moved the ark, and they took it and put it, stored it, someplace outside of the kingdom. And now the very place that it was stored is being blessed. He began to search the Torah. And I have to lie down. The time has run out. But he began to search the Torah. He began to search the five books of Moses, Genesis, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Exodus, and Leviticus. And he began to search those things and how the ark was to be handled. And he discovered the Levites were the only ones authorized to handle the ark. And in the process of bringing it home, David knew that it was going to take much more, that he needed to entreat the Lord. He needed to entreat him. God was not angry. He was not upset. But he knew that, you know, we all like a little something-something. That we all like a gift. We all like that little extra, that little special of something that's done. You might get something nice, but there was something that was special that was added to it that just puts it over the top. David was adding to the ark being brought home that was going to put it over the top. He said he knew that God needed to be entreated. When we come together, it should be to entreat the Lord. Mm-hmm. I love it when I hear the children mimicking, you know, they mimic the different individuals when they echo the expression of praise. They hear somebody blurt out a praise. They see the quickening power of God, and all of a sudden they mirror that. It's something that they heard, and it's something that is special. I believe that when that happens, that it impacts God as well. David said, have the singers come. But don't just get anybody. I don't need just anybody. Because see, there are times that people come, and I'm going to close with this, but they come and they're being spectators. They come and their mind is on other things. They come and they're sitting there, and they never move into the worship. They never move allow the presence of God to, they're just there. Now, I'm talking about those that know better. That's what I'm talking about. The Levites knew better. So when he told them to have the Levites come, he said, don't just get anybody. Look, if you go to that brother and you say, praise the Lord, and they go with, and they give you one of those, praise him. I'm not talking about that one. You're not invited. But when you go to someone and you say, praise the Lord, and they respond back with a hallelujah. They respond back with a thank you. I received that blessing. When they respond back with a smile that you know, I need, get that one. Get that one to come and sing. It did not say that the singer that he called upon, it didn't say that all of them could sing like your favorite artist, whoever your favorite artist is. It didn't say that they were able to carry a tune. They were going to make a noise unto the Lord. Get the people that have been skilled, that know how to play the piano, that know how to play the drum, that know how to play skillfully, because this is going to be a celebration. It's going to be a celebration like no other celebration. Listen, when we come to the house of God, I believe that church is a celebration. I believe that now. I don't believe that I have to stand at the microphone and minister every time. I believe that it's a celebration, and sometimes we ought to just come in and just give God praise. That we just go through a whole melody of songs and just enjoy Jesus because of what he has done and because of what he is going to do. Never lose the expectation. David was bringing the ark home because he wanted to be blessed. He was bringing that which was sacred back to the sacred place because he wanted to be blessed. Bring it on home. You want to be blessed? Bring it on home. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just tell them thank you. We have so much to be grateful for. We have so much that we can thank God for. It's not repetitive. Don't ever think telling the Lord thank you is repetitive. But we have so many, how many times we did not tell him thank you? How many times did God spare us and we don't even know anything about it, where the enemy would have taken us out? Then there's the realization that we were at knocking at the door of leaving here, and God kept us. God didn't allow a simple cold to turn into pneumonia. God didn't allow us to get hit by the car that honked at us. There's so many things to be grateful for. And, you know, instead of us saying thank you, we might have reacted differently, but this morning we're saying thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. Thank you for how you have blessed us to gather together today and to, in your name, to honor you, Lord God, in this place. Lord God, we thank you, Lord. We honor you, Lord, for your presence, Lord God. Each one that's here, I pray a blessing, Lord God, of healing upon everyone. I pray, Lord God, your wisdom and knowledge, which we need. We need your wisdom. We need your knowledge, Lord God. We need to know how to respond in various situations, and Lord God, and Lord Jesus, and you know those things that we are dealing with, and you're able to help us. Lord God, but we're not looking for miracles on the level of just instant change, Lord God, but we identify today that there are miracles that will come out of our voices, out of our hearts, out of our mouth, that will alter the very course of nature, that will alter the situation, Lord God, that we'll be able to walk away from things that are provocative, things that are challenging. Lord God, we'll know how to address them, we'll know how to deal with them, and we'll remember the your word that is you that's actually working on our behalf, Lord God, and we're going to say thank you. We're going to bless you, and we're going to tell of your goodness, Lord God, that you're at work in our lives. We're just going to claim your word, Lord God, because you said the power of life and death is in the tongue. Lord God, you have given us the ability to speak, Lord Jesus, so moving forward, whatever we say, Lord God, let it be of prosperity in our lives, good health, Lord God, and mental health, Lord Jesus, and Lord God, and physical health, Lord, and Lord Jesus, and to just bless us to do the things and accomplish the things that are in our hearts that line up with your will. I ask you. these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.